All right. First.
Good morning, Gloucester. We're trying something for the first time. We have the podcast kind of taping right here, and we're doing a lot. We have a live
Facebook
with Adventure Man. We're gonna try to pull him in on screen. Let's see. Well, if we could do this right here, add viewers to your broadcast. I want to search. Let's see, Jamie. I think he... Pat, can you call Jamie right now and see if...
I can.
All right, see if we can get Jamie.
All right, first of all, I'm having wicked envy that you two can just call up Jamie, Adventure Man, on your phone.
Yeah, we got Jamie. We got Adventure Man on.
How cool is that?
Joey's dropping the... I just got off the phone with Adventure Man. Pat's looking him up on the phone.
I need him on here.
Unbelievable. I would say in the last 24 hours.
Let's go, Pat. Chop, chop.
Coolest thing ever.
Let's go. Hi, Caters. We're waiting.
Hi, Kate.
For. I need Mr. Adventure
Good
Man.
Good morning, Jamie.
To hop on.
Good morning.
We're here together at the podcast.
So I see if he ask him to go on his Facebook
speaker,
thing.
So you're good.
I know. And can you check and see if you got tagged in a Facebook Live thing and accept it if you were?
Okay.
All right.
He doesn't even sound winded.
No, you think he's running? We have.
How is it possible?
Facebook Live.
Oh my word.
Did we tag you in it?
No.
Alright, let me see here. I think I could do this.
This is all experimental, so thank you for being willing to be part of a epic event here at
yes.
the first on the Good Morning Gloucester podcast. We also have Nicole Schraft here.
Hi, Jamie.
She's a big fan.
Awesome. There's no notification to go live.
All right, check it right now. I just invited you.
He just did it again. Or just did it.
Just did it again.
Do. We can always call.
It probably takes a minute to refresh around the. Where can are you in Connecticut still? Oh yeah, that should help. Are you in Connecticut still?
Yes.
Okay.
Jamie McDonald, add viewers. So are you on my Are you on my profile page? The one that I sent you the link to?
Should he be on Good Morning Gloucester's?
No. He has the link. I sent it to my link to my profile. Because you might actually see it and then be able to join it.
Looks like we got somebody popping on.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of viewers. Right?
Excellent.
So
hello,
sorry.
Everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah.
So sorry.
This is thrilling, I know.
Thrilling. Yeah, we have Adventure Man on the phone, and we're trying to do a split screen, but if we can't do a split screen, we're going to talk to him.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, let's see.
So, while he's working on that, maybe should we update a little bit, or?
Yeah, why don't we talk a little bit about the about what's happening here?
Okay, so as I think we already talked about, the date of Wednesday, March 27th, 1 week from today, the first day of spring, is confirmed, and we are targeting the afternoon for... Adventure Man's arrival in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And we have set up a route, and we have a couple of locations from which runners can join us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeking runners at Hammond Castle to meet up if you want to run.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So, Jamie, are you there?
Yep.
All right, we'll just do it by phone if you can figure it out in the meantime, that's fine. If not, we have you right up to the speaker anyway. So we'll just continue just like this, if that's all right
with
you.
Fantastic. No, that's fine. Yes.
So, you have a huge amount of fans in this town, but you have a huge amount of fans all over the country. For people that don't know, first of all, would you like to be called Adventure Man, or would you like to be called
That's
Jamie?
A good question.
That is a great question, Joey. I would say Adventure Man. I mean, he sounds far cooler, doesn't he?
He does sound a lot cooler. That is true.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, but you started, how long and how many marathons have you completed so far?
That's a really good question. So I've been running for nearly a year, and I've ran 205 marathons to get to this point. So I started right up in the state of Washington, and then I put my hand in the ocean. And then the goal then was to run for an entire year. I had a one-year visa and to hit as many kids' hospitals as I could within the year. And so I think we've hit about 19 states, 19 children's hospitals. And then, I can't believe it, I'm going to be finishing in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
And it's Gloucester, Massachusetts, for many reasons is special. Your hometown in the UK is it Gloucestershire, or do they call it Gloucester, or is that two different places?
So Gloucestershire would be like the version of Massachusetts, and then we live in the city of Gloucester.
Ah, Gloucester.
So Gloucester is within the Gloucestershire area.
I see, and the impetus when you. When you were young, you were sick, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
What type of illness did you have?
So when I was about 5 years old, I looked down at my legs and I was lying in bed and I couldn't move them. And my mum and dad was with me that night and we were crying and we didn't know what it was that I had. And eventually the doctors found that I had this rare spinal condition called Schwingomyelia. And so I had really unusual symptoms, and they always vary to each individual. But for me, I had like numbness of my hands, epilepsy, dizzy spells, and then, of course, sometimes I couldn't move my legs. But when I was about kind of 9 years old, my mum, she got me out to the back garden. She said, "Jamie, do you want to play tennis?" And I remember feeling like, "Not really, mum." But I went out there and I started hitting the ball, and I just got this like love for movement, and I was like a dog. You know when you throw a ball for a dog and it's like, I've got to go, I have to run for this. That was me for a whole year, and during that time as well, I got a lot of help from the hospital, and I'm really lucky to say that all my symptoms just gradually disappeared, and I should have ended up in a wheelchair or even worse. I've kept moving ever since, and now I've got the ability to run across countries.
Yes, I mean I think all it would take is for someone to watch one of your updates, one of your videos, and you get pulled into this story, and you know we picked up on it a while ago. But for a lot of people, you know, they're just catching on. But every stop, you really have touched so many people's lives along the way. Hi, Sherry. I know you're doing this for other people, but it must be so rewarding for yourself as well.
I think that's it. I think that's a really good point, actually, Joe, is that it was about 7 years ago, and I was saving up to put a deposit on a house, and I saved up £20,000, which I think is about $30,000, and I went to sign the papers to get the house, and then I just got this gut feeling in my stomach where I was like, something's wrong.
Oh.
And my brain was saying, get the house, and of course everyone around me, all my friends, everyone was getting houses, so I felt like it was the thing to do. But I just had to listen to this gut feeling, and so I pulled out. And as you can imagine, the house people were really annoyed at me. And then I started to go through this process of there must be more to life. Like, there must be more. Mm. So I ended up then getting in touch with the hospital that helped me as a kid. And I went and seen what they'd done and had a look around and met some kids. And I just left there and I thought, you know what, maybe I'm in a position where I could actually give back. And so just with this overwhelming sense of there must be more to life, I ended up buying a bicycle for £50 out of the newspaper. So it's about $100. It was one of the worst bikes known to man. And then I flew all the way to Bangkok, Gloucester, or Bangkok in Thailand, with the goal to cycle 14,000 miles back to Gloucester in England, back to the hospital that helped me as a kid. And I cycled 14,000 miles. I can't believe it.
Almighty, yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. You know, it's tough and it's challenging, but it's fulfilling. You know, it is rewarding. And if I would have gotten that house, would I be feeling the amount of fulfillment that I am now? Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. The story is just amazing. And I know the end of Gloucester is a big milestone. But there's another challenge that's going to happen almost immediately afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I dodged a few mountain lions through America and some tarantulas, and you had those rattlesnakes in the desert, didn't you? But I don't think that was enough. So when I finish this adventure, I'm going to attempt a new Guinness World Record, and that's running for 7 days, and it's the most amount of miles covered within those 7 days. So the current record is at 520 miles. So I think it's over 20 marathons within 7 days. So it's going to be pretty brutal.
Wow, that sounds brutal. That sounds just...
Yeah. But I think Adventure Man loves pain.
He's a glutton for punishment. So you're, by trade, you're, outside of your adventuring, you are a writer, is that correct? You have books that are out, right?
I do, yeah. So I've got a book that was a bestseller in England, which is pretty bonkers, really, because at school, I actually went back to school. I kind of got asked to leave because I wasn't very great at school. And when I was about 24 years old, I went back to school and I went back to the teachers that all kicked me out. And I sat in the back of the classroom with the kids to retake all my kind of exams that I didn't pass when I was 16 years old. And we discovered that I actually had dyslexia. And so I always told myself I was really, really stupid until I discovered the dyslexia. And I thought, okay.
Living with that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so then when I finished my run across Canada about 5 years ago, a publisher got in touch and said, would you write a book? And of course I was like, I can't write. And they said, just go for it, just pull it out from your head and your heart, and we'll help spell the words and show you how to write a book. So I poured it all out, so it's completely my own voice. It was actually probably one of the greatest challenges of my life. It took 2 years. And the book's about kind of the stepping stones of my life story of what inspired me to end up running 5,000 miles across Canada. And it's done really, really well. And it's available on Amazon in the US, and it's available on audio as well. There's this guy who does the voiceover for the Doctor Who. He sounds really, really posh. But he's probably a bit too posh for me, really, to sound like me, but he's done a really good job of it.
So we can find the link on Amazon, and we'll put that in the show notes of the podcast so people can you can buy the book. If you probably get it on Amazon, you probably get it within 2 days, and you'll be able to read it before Jamie shows up in town.
That's how I got my copy.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe Jamie will sign it for you when he comes into town.
I was sort of hoping maybe.
Will you sign people's books if at the? I know you're going to be tired when you get to the finish line, but will you be signing books if people have your book?
do you know what? I call her Lady V. Her name's Victoria, but I call her Lady V. So she's absolutely heart of gold, and she's actually flying out to join me for the finish. And I've got her bringing 50 books.
Oh, excellent. So that's a great idea.
To give them as gifts for you, because I know you lot have been so supportive, and the mayor of Gloucester, and any kid to anyone else that's around, we can do some signed books then.
She's been writing along on our Facebook Live feed right now that she probably heard you say that yeah. You're going to have a book for her. She's going to be very excited.
Awesome. Apparently she's an awesome hugger as well.
She's a big time hugger. Yeah, she's a big time hugger. So let's go over let's go over the 27th. It's a week away. It's incredible that, like,
I know, I can't believe it.
I'm sure Jamie's even feeling it. But let's go over what you know so far of how you'd like to see this day go.
Yeah, it's a great question. I know that we haven't got the real, real fine detail, like the exact times, but on the 27th, what we're thinking of is running a 6-mile stretch into kind of Gloucester, into Gloucester. In fact, you probably know the better details than I do about the name of the statue where we're finishing and the beach.
Right.
So I think it might be best if you share, because I'm likely to get it wrong with my...
Okay, well, I didn't know if... So basically, you asked us to lay out a route for you that we thought would be the that make the most sense, and I think that's smart of you, because we, as you know, we know the city. So what we were thinking was, and it seems like this is going to happen. We're still waiting to hear from Safathia if she spoke to the Hammond Castle people, but if people were going to find a place in Manchester that people could, if they want to do the 6-mile run, but less ambitious people, 2.25 miles from Hammond Castle, which is right on the water. It's a beautiful route, and there's parking there. People could run in, and hopefully we're hoping that people kind of run in behind you and create like a Rocky scene. And I know we spoke about this yesterday, how cool this would be. And there's been a tremendous response of people saying that they want to do this run with you. So if you're ambitious and you want to do 2.2 miles, you would meet at Hammond Castle, and we will update
about times,
and I'm sure you will. If you haven't followed Jamie, just go to Facebook, go Adventure Man, and he will pop up. He wears this funny green cape.
And some of these details are on the Gloucester post today.
Pat Dalpiaz, our wonderful Pat Dalpiaz, put up a detailed post up today on Good Morning Gloucester. But so that's 2.2 miles. But then as it gets closer, Stage Fort Park, there's plenty of parking there. And I thought that would be a good place for children to hop in and join you as coming in. And from Stage Fort Park, which is overlooking the water, in a beautiful spot, you're going to go over a hill and down onto the boulevard, which Gloucester Boulevard overlooks Gloucester Harbor, where all the fishing boats are coming and going, and it's beautiful. Come down past the
Wives Memorial.
Fisherman's Wives Memorial, which is a beautiful bronze statue of a woman and her children looking out to sea for when their fisherman husbands or whoever fishes was going to come back. And then you're going to pass over a bridge. On the other side of the bridge is the Gloucester Fisherman's Memorial, in memorial of those that were lost at sea from Gloucester. And then, and that's going to be the end. And then, right about maybe 50 yards away from there is the beach, Pavilion Beach, because I know you said you wanted to dip your hands in the Pacific Ocean when you started, and the Atlantic Ocean when you finished. And then Beauport, I spoke to the people at Beauport, Ray Johnstone, the general manager, and he has offered
that's
the deck
excellent
there.
News. Yeah, that's excellent news.
He confirmed that they're going to host a reception for you, for all the people that come in and stuff like that. It's all within 2 blocks of each other, the finish the beach and the reception area. So,
oh, that is going to be incredible.
And we have some surprises. Pat's been working diligently on some surprises for you.
Mm-hmm.
And our mayor has basically given us assurances that whatever we need, she's going to make happen.
She's been very helpful in this whole planning
process.
She's
the best. And so I think you're going to really fall in love with the city. And we can't wait for you to finish up.
Oh, no. I couldn't have picked the better spot, could I?
No, this was an excellent idea. This was just an excellent idea.
So anyway, are you running today?
I'm running today. So my dad is doing some limbo exercises in front of me. I can see too much. It's a bit too revealing, to be honest.
It's like that Seinfeld episode with the guy with his jabutis hanging out of his running shorts.
What it's like.
Is your dad still dressed the way he was when he surprised you the other night? Is that what you're wearing?
I gotta say, he done me like a kipper. He really surprised me. And there was the 17-year-old woman who I was staying with. She never said boo to a goose, and then suddenly when my dad was banging on the window and she answered the door, I think she nearly had a heart attack. There was my dad with his chest hair out, he had no top on, wearing a cape with a big beard. I mean, I'm not surprised she nearly had a heart attack, to be honest.
It was a great scene. I mean, all your videos. I mean, so if you haven't done it yet, and you're watching
my
storyteller, it's worth to spend a day and just go scroll back on the Adventure Man Facebook page and look at each story, each individual interaction is absolutely heartwarming and entertaining, and like your interactions. So a lot of times, for people that don't know, you're running, it's a scene, right? Because he has this green cape, he's pushing, he looks like a homeless guy that has lost his mind.
Every sheriff between here and Washington State has stopped him for...
Could you estimate how many times you were stopped on the side of the road by an inquisitive police officer?
Oh, I think it's over 100. I think there's probably a Guinness. There's easily a Guinness World Record for being stopped by the amount of police, but not being arrested.
So funny. But I mean, and you capture these on camera, and they're all very You know, you tell them the story, you know, you have this ability to turn people. Like in 2 seconds. Not that they're aggressive to begin with, but like, yeah, you win. You have this ability to win people over with your personality.
I think it's the cape. I think that's
the cape. That's probably it.
So you'd really like to see a lot of kids, because I mean you're doing this for children, and you'd love to see a lot of kids. So it's gonna be in the afternoon. We're locking down the time. We're thinking 4:30.
This is going to be a bit of a challenge, and because we've got to try and time it so people back home in England as well as America can watch it. Right. And it's something I didn't consider, but if we finish it, you know, into the afternoon, it would make it quite late in England and a bit of a challenge there. Mm. So we'll have a really good think today.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you reckon it would be possible if we go a little bit earlier that we could get the kids out of school for half an hour? Is that a bit of a big ask?
I don't know.
Around here, but the schools are very tough about taking kids out of school.
They're done at 3, though, right? So...
Yeah, the kids are done. The kids are they done at 3?
The kids are done at 3.
3, so they could get them there by, if they rushed, 3:30, 3:45, right, to do the run.
So, yeah, that should take some looking at, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk
about
it. Yeah.
We'll talk about it, yeah. I'll speak,
We definitely want your friends in England to have good access to this event. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah.
So, I think, you know, the key things here... Go to his Facebook page. Go to Adventure Man's Facebook page. Just type in Adventure Man. You'll see the guy with the big grin, scruffy face, green cape, and you'll know you found the right Adventure Man. Scroll through, but keep you know, follow him and keep. There's going to be updates throughout the week, I'm sure, that are going to be worthwhile to look for, and the information on where to meet to do that final run in and greet. Will be there, I'm sure, as well as Good Morning Gloucester. So So, Jamie, thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for coming on the program, and you know, we couldn't have asked for. We're so humbled that you chose Gloucester.
And we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Pat. I love it. No, I can't wait to see you.
Jamie, I know it's been really tough on you a few times. I know you've even said down on some of your podcasts it was really, you were starting to question what are you doing and everything else. Well, let me tell you what, with all the people following you and around here and the excitement, even in the last 24 hours, all the phone calls you made to Joey and Pat, there's a lot of excitement. We are all behind you.
And yeah.
Can't wait to see
awesome.
You.
All right. Take care, buddy. Awesome. We'll see you. We'll talk soon.
See you soon. Bye, bye.
Wow.
That was so much fun. Another podcast first.
So we pulled that off. That would have been nice to have his video on there.
Yes, yes.
But I've been a nervous wreck since last night, since I said, let's try this, that it was just going to be a complete disaster. In the first maybe 5 minutes of us trying to figure out wasn't the most exciting thing in the world.
Yeah.
But you stick with it and you'll be. He was a great guest and it worked out. Oh my God, I can't wait for this day.
I know.
You know my favorite thing about him? Is that every question you ask, he says, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
He's fun to interview.
You think he's done it before.
That's a brilliant question.
He's a genius marketer.
Yeah. So many people have said, why?
Yeah.
And he's probably a little dumb with that.
He could be in sales for sure. This guy is tremendous.
He's very personable. And that was...
That guy will win anybody.
And very humble. I mean, in my conversations with him, it's very easy to talk to him, and he's been very humble about these efforts. He's epic. I mean, I don't know how he gets up in the morning and faces the run. Like, I think I don't remember if he said it online or not, but I think he said he was going to run about 30 miles today.
He told us earlier.
Oh, that's right. We didn't mention it. Oh, wow, it's live. It's already live on.
Good.
One thing we didn't mention is he's still in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And he's working his way up. And he did tell us earlier, when we were arranging all this, that he was planning on the 30 plus today.
Mm-hmm. One of the, I didn't know about him until I think first, I don't know if it was Pat and then Sapathia, or Sapathia and then Pat had shared that he would be coming through. He hadn't even decided to stop here yet, I don't think, but... There was a video, I want to say he was in Georgia, and it was pouring rain, and it was dark, and he was running through a fairly populated place that had a Waffle House, I remember, and some hotels, and he wanted to stop so badly, but he knew he was due at a children's hospital the next day, and if he stopped there for a comfortable night's sleep, he wasn't going to make it. So instead, he ran and ran, and essentially bushwhacked himself, you know, in his tent off-road, in the pouring rain, and then actually got lost the next morning, couldn't get out of where he was. And it was one of the first times I heard that, like, this is so hard out of him because he's so happy and he's so positive. And I remember watching that one and then I was hooked. I was like, this guy is amazing.
Yeah. I had to say, a voice he didn't know, hey, we believe in you. And And kudos, Pat. You're the one that brought all this up and brought attention and got the Joey and everyone.
Well, and Sapathia,
Sapathia definitely put that link out too. Yeah. It's good teamwork right there. So
amazing.
Yeah. Pat, I put Pat on this because I knew, you know, the working and going away that I wouldn't be able to do it. And I knew Pat is a task-oriented person.
That's awesome. Thank you, Pat.
It helps to be retired and that I can spend time. A lot of people don't have that kind of time.
And she's very timid. So I have to put. So you will you admit that I have
this
to I have to push you
right
to get shit done?
Right out of the podcast, you're saying this.
Yeah,
you are too. Yeah. So I like I. So I'm
it's
like.
What
so what?
Say.
So what is this? She's like, well, I'm like. So like the last week or so, I've been
his boot has been in my back.
You got two options here.
Yeah.
You either make the phone call.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna make the phone call.
Yeah.
But she's done a great job. Her and Jimmy and Sapathia giving us the assurances and Ray Johnstone.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
Amazing.
That was good. That was great news.
From the person that's hosting.
Maggie and Joe Rosa are hosting. They're going to stay there.
He's going to stay there? That's great. I didn't know where he was going to be. That's tremendous that they're doing that.
So, so you just got back from Key West.
From Isla Mirada.
Isla Mirada. Same thing, no?
Kinda. Yeah, it's like 3 hours north.
But it's an island.
It's one of the keys.
And it's a touristy place, and they fish.
They do a lot of fishing. Yeah. I don't know if it's a touristy place.
What brought you to that particular space?
So, we took the boys 2 years ago, and Finn has declared it his favorite vacation spot ever. I love it down there. I say all the time that when the kids go off to college, I'd like nothing more than to have a tiny little place down in the Keys. So Key West is gorgeous, but it also can be, just a little bit more crazy. But the mid-Keys are just really quiet and slow and tons of great restaurants and tons of great activities.
See, I'm not a fan. I'm not a big Key West fan.
Yeah, well, that's what. So
because of the beach, there's not really much beach.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of.
Are there beaches in Isla Mirada?
Did
I say it right?
Isla Mirada.
Isla Mirada.
And there are. There's also a lot of great parks where you can go in, and they usually have pools and like rec centers and beaches. It's if you envision yourself driving down that one, what they call a highway, but it's not really a highway. From Miami, and then you get into the Keys, and then you go straight all the way. It's about almost 4 hours from the top all the way down to Key West, but it's super narrow. You can see both sides of the Keys, so the Keys might be long. They might be several miles long, the bigger ones, but they're super narrow. So there's beaches per se, but they're not like they don't look like Good Harbor Beach by any or Wingersheek by any stretch of the imagination. But the tarpon are everywhere. The kids like to go. You can hand feed the tarpon. They jump out of the water, and you see sharks and manatees and dolphins and turtles if you're lucky. And it's just, I tried to keep up with Finn for 3 days.
No wonder there is
sitting in a beach chair and reading a book when you're with Finn. So we were like on the go the whole time. But it's just such a great place. He loves it. I wish we had more time because everyone stepped up with great recommendations of what to do, but we just ran out of time. So. But great fishing. They just want to have a rod in their hand all the time. And I'm trying to get better about like the pliers and getting the fish off and doing the things that they can't do. Or when there's a lot of fish with sharp teeth and whatnot, then I have to jump in. But that's all they want to do. That was his request. So we rented the convertible and we drove. We flew into Fort Myers.
Oh, okay.
The impetus for the trip was my dad, who is a big fan of the blog. He probably won't listen to this, but he looks at the blog all day long. It turned 75 in December. So my brother, my sister, and I booked a trip down to Fort Myers. It's funny, a couple of years ago, I was sitting at the bar at the mile marker. The kids were in the pool, and I was with my sister and my dad. And we were like reminiscing on old times, and he said, there's nothing I would like more than to go to blank with the whole family. Now, I heard Sarasota, Florida, where he spends a good amount of time, and my sister heard Saratoga, New York. So neither one of us is really sure.
What's the difference there?
He loves them both like crazy, and he goes every year to both places. So that summer, my sister started to plan a trip to Saratoga Springs or to the racetrack.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so we went up We went up for one of the races.
Belmont.
And we brought
New York.
We went up to Saratoga. I want to say the Traverse. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. So the grandkids, and we all went up and we stayed up in Saratoga.
It is beautiful there. Yeah.
And then after a couple of drinks, we were joking, like, Tracy, this is great, but I still think he said Sarasota. So we did it. Then we went 2 years in a row up to Saratoga, and it's become like one of our favorite summer weekends. But so then, flash forward a year, we're like, well, maybe we should do Florida too. So we turned 75, and so just to cover our bases, we also booked the trip down to the Sarasota region.
You flew into Fort Myers. Fort Myers to Key West is a long drive.
I didn't drive to Key West. Again, we do. So it was 3 hours and 20 minutes from Fort Myers to Isla Mirada. But that's what we were.
Oh, by boat, you mean?
No, we drove. We flew into Fort Myers. Finn and I landed in Fort Myers on Wednesday at like 9 o'clock in the morning. Picked up the little red Mustang convertible, which I would never rent on my own, but that's what Finn was all excited to have a convertible. And we drove. It was just under 3.5 hours to get to Isla Mirada. We spent 3 days there, and then we drove back up again.
You didn't drive to Key West. You drove to Isla Mirada.
Right.
So Isla Mirada is pretty up north.
It's about 3 hours from Key West.
Oh, okay.
It's about an hour and a half down into the Keys.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so again, if you drive from
only
Miami...
3.5 hours from Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
You get a
Tampa,
picture of the top of the
from
Keys,
Tampa,
yeah.
Right. If you're from Tampa, then it would be a long, lot longer. I used to do those trips in my 20s and early 30s. Me and my buddies, we had friends in Tampa, in Miami, and in Naples. and Key West. So we would fly into one of these cities and we'd fly out of the other, and there was a tremendous amount of driving in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd spend 2 or 3 days in each one of these cities, and so you're fresh with a new group, hitting it hard, and then for 2 days, and then going to a new group, hitting it hard for 2 days. It is absolutely, by the time that, see, you can do these kind of things in your 20s.
Yeah.
I could not survive a trip like that in my 50s.
I just did West Palm to Tampa. Driving, and it's foaming a little bit.
Yeah. We did. My grandparents lived in Fort Myers Beach, and when I was a kid, I remember flying into Fort Myers, and that was walk off the plane on the stairs, walk across the tarmac.
Yep.
You know, and your luggage was sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's an international. Every time I think about it, it's
so
like,
that's when you were a kid, and you're a little bit older than me. When I was a kid going there, you get off the plane, and it was just a parking lot out front.
There was the
terminal, but the terminal was next to nothing. Now they have
it's an international airport.
The rental car places are right there. The only thing that I won't get into it. I had a bad experience last year with they've now on Priceline. I usually get my cars through Priceline. And they're now allowing some of these companies that are not like what I would consider first tier rental car companies, and they're not in the terminal. You have to get on a bus to go to them.
Right, right.
And so you have to wait for the bus and then wait in line over there. It's not as convenient. Let's put it that way. And they're letting you put in. So if you put in your parameters that you want Fort Myers on a terminal, they're including these ones that are not in the terminal. So it's kind of like
I did that on purpose, just because I discovered that I use Expedia for everything, and I saw like some great prices. I'm like, oh, that's great. Then I realized they were off-site. It says, you know, off-site. But then when I started to look a little bit more, I realized, so again, he really wanted a convertible, and I'm like, how often are we going to do that? So the price to get one off-site was like probably $175 cheaper than renting right at the airport. And literally, we walked out of the airport because it's so easy. There was a little taxi stand. It cost $20 flat rate. It was 5 minutes, if anything, away from the airport.
Yeah.
And we landed at 9 o'clock in the morning. If I was going to, you know, land at 11 o'clock at night, I wasn't going to deal with all that.
Right.
But honestly, the taxi ride from the airport to the off-site enterprise was probably shorter than it would have been to navigate, you know, the airport and get to the car rental place.
Oh, right.
And it was
right.
$20. And it was easy. It couldn't have been any easier.
That's probably the move. The move is probably just take a taxi instead of waiting for the shuttle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they didn't have a shuttle. I feel like they didn't, but it was literally the taxi stand was right there.
Right.
So we had a great time. And then we went to spring training with my brother had flown in from California.
I want to be reborn as one of Nicole's children.
Yeah, I know.
No one has it better than those kids.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's very nice of you.
I don't know.
They would disagree sometimes.
There's one in the car at the parking lot.
He's got the video game.
Who should be at school right now?
Who's been told strictly not to come up the stairs?
We're taping.
No matter what.
He can text me anytime he wants.
We'll edit that out when we go through.
Yeah.
It's only, it's 110 degrees outdoors right now. She didn't crack the window.
Don't do that. I don't need more phone calls.
No. At least you're not. Oh, we don't know if you do you have the Baileys.
I'm going to work. There's no. Hi, Paul. There's no Baileys in my coffee. I'm headed to work right now.
Yeah.
I came with my marketing hat on.
So tell me about Montessori school and wait. I want to say this. I think it's worth it to send kids to your type of school for one main reason.
Oh.
The one main reason being that their vacations are not during February and April vacation. So you can actually fly away and not get absolutely demolished on flights.
Brilliant. I
don't care about the education so much.
I know,
much.
I was just saying, so first of all, I appreciate that that's the only reason you would send your children to my school. But I won't get into that today. but that's actually not completely true. And that's why I was happy to. So Heidi Dahlin did a great job. I was thrilled to see in the notes from Sunday's podcast that she talked about the Golden Goose Awards, which are Friday and Saturday. But when you're talking about vacations, it was a lot of the independent schools do the 2 weeks off in March, whereas a lot of the public schools and some of the independent schools still do February and April vacation. What we're doing this year at Harborlight is, I think, brilliant and a little bit different, and we did it for a lot of reasons that I won't bore you with, but to make sure that the children were getting a really great 3-hour work period in the morning where they weren't getting interrupted by all these wonderful specials that we do. We still do a lot of performing arts and a lot of gym and a lot of art and a lot of yoga and whatnot. We've kind of restructured our school year, and so now, I'm going to try to explain this quickly, children and parents get to pick their vacation weeks.
Oh.
So in February and the 2 weeks in March, which are happening right now, and April, and then the 2 weeks in June after school gets out, that adds up to 6 different weeks that we call experience weeks. And included in their tuition, all children get 2 of those weeks. They can add on any more they want, kind of a la carte. So for example, Finn took February vacation off. We had a couple hockey tournaments. He took last week off to go to Florida, but he's enrolled this week in a really great experience week that he's missing right now, but he'll get there soon. and then we're going to Mexico in April, and then to make up for the fact that he only did 1 so far, he's going to stay at school the week after school gets out, when traditional schools are still in session anyway, and he's going to go to Maritime Gloucester for 5 days to do something called the Sacred Cod, which is another great experience week where we've partnered with Maritime Gloucester for a really great, you know, they're not at all campy. They're really educational, fantastic experiences. So those are the 2 that Finn chose. He chose this week and the week in June. So to speak to what you said about vacation, I mean, it's even more brilliant in that they get to choose.
Yeah.
So if they have a child in a traditional school and they want to do February and April because that's what their other 2 siblings are doing, they can. Or they can do the 2 weeks in March. Or they can take off all of that and ski and go away and then, you know, stay on campus for the last 2 weeks of June and do these really enriching programs. So,
but they have to miss Fiesta?
Then they have to miss Fiesta. So, you know,
oh,
they
Jesus, still I don't know.
But they're also open to children who aren't enrolled at Harborlight, which is great. So if you have a child who's at another school who wants to come.
What's your enrollment?
210 right now. Excellent. So we have an infant toddler program, and then we go up to 8th grade.
When she got there was 75.
That's right. That's right.
She blew up the program.
I've been there for almost 25 years now. So
is it really? 25
right from
years?
College. Yep.
Wow.
It's I can't say enough about it.
You don't seem that old.
I know. I'm 47. I've been there right out of college.
47.
47. You're older than I am, right?
Those years go. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Golden Goose Awards are 2 weeks. These experience weeks have been in partnership with Gloucester Stage, who have just been so amazing. They shut down the theater essentially for us for these 2 weeks, and they have 35 of our students there who have been doing every component of theater education you can imagine. They've learned how to do everything from the backstage to the makeup to the soundboard to the lighting, and then on Friday and Saturday they'll put on their performances that Heidi spoke about, which are super exciting for us.
Yeah.
And written by our performing arts published playwright teacher. So hopefully some people in the town will buy tickets and bring their children because it's a super cute play. But we're excited. And Gloucester Stage has been really, really phenomenal. So
they're great.
We're lucky. Yeah, they
they're
are.
Phenomenal.
It's a great facility.
Yeah, they do so much
people.
For kids.
Yeah.
So much for kids. I've noticed that.
And they're trying to do even more. And I won't speak to that because I don't want to not do it justice. But I know they're really excited about reaching out to schools and getting some more theater
mm-hmm.
education out there for the kids, which is great.
Awesome.
So good stuff.
Yeah, that is good stuff.
We are huge fans of the Montessori, of Nicole's school. They came down here a couple of years ago, and they did like a, one of the programs was to show them what lobsters and stuff like that.
Oh,
they did a marine science and maritime history.
And you put that program
session.
Together, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so it was really trying to, you know, it's funny to me how, you know, we're so blessed, obviously, we say it all the time, to live where we live, but it is interesting depending on, you know, I guess maybe where you live in the community or also what your
parents
heritage
do.
Is or
yeah.
what your parents do, but it is surprising to me, only being up in Beverly, how many children maybe don't know, you know, what the
right.
what the history of Gloucester is and don't ever have an opportunity to
I think
to
we
be
take
underwater.
It for granted a lot
yeah.
of times, and like it's eye-opening. You see these kids come down and, you know, like, and some kids could live like just on the top of the hill over there, but never
right.
get down to the docks, and
yeah.
really don't understand what's going on down
yeah.
the
yeah.
docks. You know, so it's I mean that's all. Hands-on. You can read for books all day long, but hands-on, man. That's stuff that sticks with you. You know, I guarantee you those. I guarantee you those kids have bits of those memories 25 mm-hmm. years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I joke. My godmother is Susan Richardson, who was one of the owners of Richardson's Dairy. You know, so we joke that the milk farmer, the dairy farmer, and then my godfather is Vito Calamo. And so I grew up on the wharf and the fishing boats. I remember christening the Italian Gold or the American Eagle. I forget which one, but with the Piscatellos and everyone else.
That's
I grew up
American
on the waterfront.
Eagle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so from the dairy farm to the waterfront. But there's a lot of children who don't have that opportunity. And I think that, you know, now with the Genome Institute, oh my gosh, like there's just so much happening here on the waterfront.
That Genome Institute, there's so many opportunities that I think in 10 or 15 years, you're going to see people going to be fighting to get those spots.
It just blows your way.
Fighting. I mean, you have an opportunity to send your kid there and be done after college and, like, roll right into a job that's probably six-figure, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's going nowhere but up.
Oh, yeah. The demand.
Yeah.
So I was having this conversation with someone yesterday about, and I talk about this all the time. I sound like a broken record, but, like, you know, you send kids to school and it costs you couple hundred thousand dollars,
yeah.
right, or whatever, and then they tell you they want to be a sportscaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And probably there's probably 20,000 people around the country graduating with sportscaster degrees for 15 jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and they're paid $45,000 a year as opposed to some, you know, specialized degree that they're going to come out making $85,000-$90,000. You know, with rapid advancement, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's great. I have a topic. Okay. Do you have to go, or can you hang out for a little bit?
I can hang out.
Hang out? Okay. So one of my topics is, do you guys have a process for purging clothes? Do you have a steadfast rule, or do you just kind of wing it? Like, I have clothes that in my closet that I have that I know are nice clothes. I say, I'm definitely going to wear that this spring, and I don't wear it, and it just takes up space.
When I transition for seasons,
that's when you purge,
which is pretty much twice a year. I try to review everything that's in there and think about keeping in mind this whole Marie Kondo and all this decluttering, because we're trying to downsize as much as we can.
Marie Kondo is a big thing now.
Right.
She'd blow up. I don't even know who she is, but I know I've heard.
Have you not
heard her? Marie Kondo?
Those are good.
It's like
theories.
Muffy White stuff. It's all about organizing.
Right. So twice a year for my clothes, pretty much go through everything, and I try to make an effort to clear out what I haven't worn in a long time or is clearly out of fashion or. And what makes me feel good is I always turn them over to the Goodwill or whatever, so that's okay.
I need a specialist that can get, I have like my really nice clothes, they have the collars are kind of like brown.
Yeah. I don't know if they can fix them.
Can someone clean those, or do I have to ditch those? I mean, they're nice shirts from Nordstrom.
I don't know. It's Northeast Cleaners. Thatcher has his little dress uniform for the Navy Sea Cadets, and they get kind of recycled when the cadets get older. They obviously hand those down, and so we had a little bit of that, and I brought it to Northeast Cleaners because they put all the patches on and iron it, and they did a pretty good job. But
they put the patches on at Northeast Cleaners?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know they did that kind of thing.
Because I certainly do not know how to do that. I got busted using the hot glue gun, and poor Thatcher was at the Coast Guard station, and you can see a little bit of the glue sticking out. So
someone I may or may not have been married to in a former life had a fake Kate Spade bag, and we were at a wedding in the middle of the summer. It was a pink satin Kate Spade bag, and the blue black tag in the heat. going down.
I hope you didn't buy it as a gift. That's
No. She was very frugal.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Now, you know, if you go to the Kate Spade outlet, there's a Kate Spade outlet in Naples.
Yeah.
In that place. And they have tremendous value. You don't have to buy fake Kate Spade bags. You can buy them pretty inexpensively.
That's funny.
What?
Yeah, no, I said that's funny.
Yeah.
That happened.
We didn't get to you. Did you have a method for purging old clothes?
No. I miss the urchin exchange. I know Kate goes there a lot. Kate. I miss that place like crazy because it was really great. I mean, I don't want to sound... I love to donate things, but I try to pick and choose. We have some things. I'm a super frugal shopper, but the kids have some nice things, but I get almost everything on sale or on eBay. I do a lot of shopping. But there are some things that I like to... I used to bring there, and then you get a little bit of money back, and then you get your new... Yeah. You know, the kids' new bathing suits for the summer, and now that's not there. I've been far worse
eBay.
About
purging. eBay is a great tip.
I use eBay for everything.
You know something?
Almost everything.
I've been buying... I bought some Bonobos is a pair of pants. It's kind of like, whatever, nice pants. They're $110, $125 pants anywhere, Nordstrom, wherever you go, they're $110, $125. Buy them for $30 brand new with the tags.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Like, I just started to figure out the eBay for clothes thing.
Yeah, you can pick new or you can pick used, excellent condition, but yeah. I do it for the kids, like, you know, every year they need like the new puffy coat, they need the new vest, and they need the new bathing suit or
what's the
bogs.
The eBay.
eBay. Yeah, eBay is great too. Dee Noble got me on that,
that?
I don't get her kind of check. Almost any store you could shop for, if you have an eBates account, you'll see in the top right corner of your browser, whatever you're doing, if you remember to click on the E, then you get points back. So we just booked a trip to Mexico, and I'll get about $200 back after we use those plane tickets because I clicked on the Ebates and it was active. But often if I buy something on eBay, they use Ebates all the time and I'll get like $1.37 back or whatever. But they send you a check for no reason whatsoever. Every like five times a year or something, I'll get a check from whatever spending I did where I remembered to use my Ebates account.
Another thing eBay is really good for, I have to say this because I got to plug it, is for family history research.
Wow,
so if
really?
You're looking, yes,
I would have never thought that.
It is surprising
yeah.
how much you might find about, you know, the hometown that your grandparents grew up in, perhaps, or written a book or an article, or you just never know what you're going to find by looking on eBay for your family history. It's really astounding.
Huh.
And I know there's a lot of postcards on it, for sure.
Yeah, the postcards, the postcards are nice when you're looking for that kind of thing. But like, for example, I found my grandfather had been in a magazine ad, and I just looked his name up on eBay, and that came up, and I got it. I bought it, and
that's great.
Yeah, and some of our Gloucester ancestors.
That's incredible.
It's been, yeah. It's an amazing resource.
Your grandfather
kind of
was in Ripley's, believe it or not.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. For yeah. what?
My mother's father was a small man who played for St. Bonaventure College, and he was the quarterback, and this is back in the Leatherhead days. And he was an outstanding football player and won some very big games for St. Bonaventure at the time. And and played with broken bones and this kind of thing. And
One man.
Six touchdowns in a game. He's
4'11"
or something.
Wow. Yeah. So
I was
searching for him. He had a unique name, and he's well known for these accomplishments. So, you know, his name always pops up.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, there you go, guys. Thank you to Adventure Man.
Yes. Thank
so
you.
Exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you to Pat for doing some work for us. Thank you, Nicole, for coming in. We never get to see you anymore.
Hey.
You got to do one on the weekend when you can actually...
Hockey's almost over.
Inappropriate.
That's what
playoffs
I keep
are happening.
Yeah,
kinda.
I keep hearing
it's never
that.
Really over, but a couple more weeks of playoff games or we're done tonight.
Soccer is just about to ramp up.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Very excited.
All the time.
Yeah, I know. All right, GloucesterCast 328 is in the books. We're going to do one Friday morning, 8 o'clock.